When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Gators Breakdown, because there's never a dull moment in Gator Nation.
The Gators Breakdown podcast is ready to go. I'm your host, David Waters. You can find me on social media at GatorDave_SEC. And hey, look, certainly never a dull moment in Gator Nation. And right now, that's got to do with the transfer portal in Florida, a visit we thought was going to happen, not happening, maybe another visit that didn't look likely earlier in the week, maybe because of some spots not being available, may happen now this weekend. So, hey, look, we'll get into it. It is never a dull moment, especially with the transfer portal ever changing. So hit that like button, subscribe right here on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform. You'll get those notifications when there's news, when there is a new Gators Breakdown. But if you're on YouTube, just do us a little favor, smash that like button. This really helps us out. Support us right here on Gators Breakdown. Hey, look, if you want to support us even more and you get more out of it, Gators Breakdown Plus, link is in the description. Extra episodes, the chats we have, those turn into extra episodes. I'll give you guys a preview of those sometimes, but probably do one of those next week after the portal settles down. All that good stuff there, Gators Breakdown Plus. But, you know, Discord server popping, of course, just ongoing conversation right there in the Gators Breakdown Plus Discord. Having a lot of fun right there lately, a lot of the discussion around the transfer portal and all that good stuff. But, you know, this episode, we'll get into transfer portal latest. And also, I did throw on Twitter earlier this week, ask Gator Nation how they felt after spring. I wanted some time to pass if you didn't get to see the game because, of course, it wasn't readily available on TV. You had to SEC Network Plus or ESPN Plus, whatever. And if you didn't get to watch it right away, give it some time, but also just time to think about it and listen to my show, take in other content as well, and what you think about, you know, the Gators after spring. I know transfer portal is going to come into play a little bit, but mainly just wanted to get a gauge on how you feel after the spring game and what, you know, how the team currently stands, what we got to see and hear throughout spring practice. So, all right, let's get to transfer portal right quick. And then, of course, Florida sitting at 86 scholarships. So while Florida is currently over, we are, you know, we're hearing some visits. So that kind of confirms Florida will eventually have room somehow, some way. Now, a few players, like I said last episode, could leave once they graduate in May. So being over right now just may not matter. So we know wide receiver. That's kind of the position that's been getting all the headlines in the transfer portal right now for the Gators. So, look, of course, still looking to add a receiver. So, safe to assume there's going to be some departures at some point. Just not sure who or when. So, let's go back to the last episode of Gators Breakdown. And the name that was confirmed for a visit this weekend was going to be Colorado State wideout Justice Ross Simmons. Visited Syracuse this past weekend with no commitment right after that, until Wednesday evening, and then he commits to Syracuse on Wednesday evening. So, of course, everybody's been following social media, other message boards and stuff out there, Gators Breakdown Plus, and the discussion we're having there. It's been coming out, some kind of academic issue with Florida, and not necessarily choosing Syracuse over Florida, but just the way it's working out. Of course, either way, it's a loss in a receiver that we obviously know Florida would have liked to add, was trying to get him on campus this week. So now, look, in saying this was academic doesn't necessarily mean a bad GPA. I don't want to put that on the kid or, you know, say something along those lines if it's not true. But it could easily be not having enough credits or credits for certain classes or certain classes and credits not transferring from Colorado State. Look, I don't want to assume, oh, the kid's got bad grades. And that's not right. If that's what it is, okay. I don't know that. So let's, you know, make sure we look at it big picture wise. It could just be transferring from Colorado State to Florida, not as easy. So, and look, at right now for Florida, look, the transfer portal moves fast. So scheduling the visit, that was the right move. But of course, the admissions process takes a little longer. So visits get scheduled while admission does their part. And this time, a no-go for the Gators. Not the first time this has happened in Florida. Won't be the last time this happened in Florida. I know some people will say this as an excuse of just not getting him. Look, this was not Syracuse beating Florida for him. If you don't want to believe it, don't. I don't care. But just letting you know. So now where does Florida go from here? There has to be a pivot from here. On to the next target at wide receiver, because I don't think Florida's done pursuing one, and that also may have played a part in this one as well. It certainly won't be Penn State receiver Keandre Lambert-Smith. He won't be an option. He committed to Auburn on Wednesday evening, so Now, Lambert-Smith wasn't really ever a target for Florida. Didn't hear much along those, but just saying if Florida was going to pivot, he won't be one of them because he committed to Auburn on Wednesday. I'm not sure about the fit there because I'm not really sure Peyton Thorne really elevates his game much, but that probably wasn't the sole reason for picking the Tigers here. So there will be no pivot to him for the Florida staff. So the player to watch, and brought him up last episode of Gators Breakdown, so not new, but Arizona State wide receiver Elijah Badger. He officially entered the transfer portal last Friday. Checks in at 6'2", 190 pounds, so the size you really, really like to put on the outside there at Florida, put him into this rotation. Last season, Badger, 65 catches, 713 yards, 3 touchdowns for the Sun Devils. Against Colorado last year in a 27-24 loss, he made 12 catches for 134 yards. In 2022, he had an even stronger season with 70 catches, 866 yards, and 7 touchdown catches that year. So he tore up Colorado that year as well. 8 catches for 137 yards in 2022. So both his highest receiving totals in 23 and 22 came against Colorado. He's recorded a total of 135 catches for 1,579 yards and 10 touchdowns over the past 2 seasons. One more time, 135 catches, just over 1,500 receiving yards, and 10 touchdowns over the last 2 seasons. And you got to look at Arizona State there because they've had about 5 quarterbacks in just the last 2 seasons take starting snaps for them. So it's not like, I mean, Jaden Rashada, you know, of course, as a true freshman, was throwing balls last year as a quarterback at Arizona State. So he's putting up stats with a very, very shaky quarterback room at best and still being able to put up some numbers. So good there for Badger. You know, he was expected to be one of the top wideouts in the Big 12 this coming up fall. Remember, Arizona State's moving from the Pac-12 to the Big 12. Still has 2 seasons left to play. But the thought is if he has a successful senior season this coming up year, he could potentially go to the draft. So a back injury, he suffered a back injury toward the end of last season. So that limited him in spring practice this past spring, but should be a full go in the summer. He's originally from Sacramento, California. So would distance play a factor? I think you have to look at that. But maybe not because, you know, Alabama is a school that may be in the running here as well, along with Texas A&M. I think if you look at it from Florida's perspective, there's interest here, of course. I'm bringing up the same for a reason. Napier has a history, of course, at Arizona State, but also hopefully an in here with Ricky Pearsall. Of course, he transferred in from Arizona State a couple seasons ago from Florida, and hopefully Pearsall can help Florida here because he was at Arizona State in 2020 and 21 as well with Badger. So hopefully, certainly a connection there, being there 2 seasons together. So hopefully, while Ricky Pearsall is going through the NFL draft stuff right now, as the NFL draft starts here on this Thursday. So he's busy enough, but hopefully some things if Ricky Pearsall can help here, that has already been set in motion. So definitely a connection there, of course, with the Gator receiver heading to the NFL draft and Badger. So hopefully, you know, as Florida has to pivot here. But like I said, there was interest here anyway before Ross Simmons and him committing to Syracuse. So Florida, I think, because look, this was a late ad. Remember, he didn't jump into the portal. Badger didn't jump into the portal until kind of later. So Florida doing their due diligence here, hopefully can make this one happen as you look for another receiver. I know another one I've been asked about a good bit is Houston wide receiver, Sam Brown. He's scheduling visits to Miami this weekend. 62 catches, 815 yards last season with 3 touchdowns. Also led Houston in yards per game with 68. He was honorable mention on Big 12 selection after ranking number 6 in the Big 12 in receptions. So he's the top available receiver right now in the transfer portal. 6'2", 195 pounds. He was coached by Miami offensive coordinator Shannon Dawson at Houston in 2022, so he already knows that offense. There's an obvious connection there. So he's been making that visit there this weekend. So probably hard not to see him commit to Miami eventually. But he's been someone I've been asked about, so had to bring him up right here. And that's the latest on him. So there you go. There's where it stands at receiver for right now with Florida and the transfer portal. And look, while there was thought that there'd be little room to add an offensive lineman after Enoch Wangle reclassified, USC transfer 2024 offensive lineman Jason Zandamela may end up visiting Gainesville this weekend after all. Didn't look likely earlier this week. Supposed to be visiting UCF beforehand, so we'll see if that comes. See if he comes out of that uncommitted. But from what I'm being told, him and his camp prefer Florida, but that doesn't mean it's a done deal or doesn't mean he'll end up at Florida. The former four-star, top 150 recruit has 4 years of eligibility remaining, was only at USC for a couple of months. He'd be a great addition for the interior of this offensive line. Now, probably not an instant contributor, of course, because he'd be pretty much a true freshman, but had to come in as a transfer. So only been at college for a few months at USC. Certainly would have been an offensive line recruit we would have wanted in the 24 class anyway. So 24/7 Sports had him as the top interior offensive lineman in the country and the 46th player overall. So just some quick highlights shows, you know, that tape shows he's really physical at the point of attack. So hopefully he gets on campus this weekend. They can figure everything out. I know it's just not as easy from what I'm hearing, but hopefully he gets out of that UCF visit with no commitment, takes that visit to Gainesville, and Florida can add one of the top interior offensive linemen here. He wants to be close to home, wants to be in the state of Florida. As of right now, it looks like a UCF-Florida decision for Zandamela. And then Corey Bender from Gators Online, good friend of the program here, of course, got to get him back on soon. Reported that Maine offensive tackle Xavier Lozowicki, hope I'm saying that right, entered the transfer portal on Monday, was one of the top tackles in FCS as a redshirt freshman. No offer from Florida yet, but the former IMG Academy standout has been contacted by the Gators. We'll see what comes of it. He's also been offered by USC, Miami, West Virginia, Vandy, South Florida, and Cincinnati. So, look, guys, this transfer portal stuff moves fast, and now even faster with this window closing next week. So don't hold, you know, all of this to the fire. That's where it stands at the moment I'm recording and all that I could gather at this time. No telling what will happen by the time you listen to this or, you know, it's just know, as I know many of you already do, this stuff changes by the hour, by the day. You know, by next week, Florida could have a new wide receiver, offensive lineman, or could have no one. So it doesn't look like anyone will be transferring away at the moment from the Gators program. So I'll assume the roster space will be cleared by graduations in May or guys leaving for some other reason or even some scholarships be reassigned some way if more transfers come in. So we'll see. It's all a little cloudy, fast moving right now, and we'll see where it all ends up. All right, so let's close this episode here. I threw out on Twitter earlier this week a poll, and that was to get a feel of Gator Nation. And I asked, since some time has passed, how do you feel about the 2024 Florida Gators since spring practice, and why? So 47.8% say they feel better. 42.2 say they feel the same, and 10% say they feel worse. Now, let me see if I can find this right quick. There was a good bit of votes on this. So let me make sure I get that number for you. But just to give, you know, it wasn't a small number. So it was, 2,749 votes on that. 47.8% say better. 42.2% say same. 10% say worse. Now, like I said, you know, of course, this is spring game, spring practice. So take of it what you will from the spring game. That's all we really get to see is a mass. Not much is shown. So much of this is based on that, or if you followed all throughout spring practice here on Gators Breakdown and you're buying into the insider practice notes and such, you know, you can maybe glean some from that as well. But, you know, I asked this because I got a sense there was a little more optimism when I had a chat with Gators Breakdown Plus members, but I wanted to see if that, you know, also translated to, you know, Twitter and a bigger audience. But certainly seems to be some optimism out there. Now, maybe that's nature of the beast of hope springs eternal. It happens every year. But, you know, I'll share some of the comments and I received on it here on Twitter. Jay Splash, I think last year I felt like Mertz's success depended solely on how the offensive line played due to him being a pocket quarterback. I haven't truly seen enough to show me our offensive line has improved leaps and bounds to get us back. However, the defense does seem improved, and that can certainly factor in. My good friend Aaron, a Gen X audiophile on Twitter, he said there were some surprises for me. I really like Ball. The defense looked more athletic. Yeah, we must find a way to get Trey Wilson the ball. All comes down to the offensive line, giving Mertz time to throw. Special teams did not impress. Go Gators. So look, the offensive line, of course, is we're talking about that now with the transfer portal, right? So we know how big of an issue it is for Florida. But I go back to, look, it can all be coach speak. It certainly can. That's all we kind of have to go on right now. But in some of the insider practice notes did mention a cleaner pocket, the pocket being cleaner for Graham Mertz, being able to take more shots down the field. Yes, right. We did not see that in the spring game. So, you know, we take that for what it's worth. But Billy Napier did go on and on about how he feels better about the offensive tackles in the spring, bringing in those transfers, Crenshaw Dixon, Devin Manuel, and bringing more depth to that position. Of course, you get Barber and Waits back for summer and fall camp, and that's got to help. You know, that's got to help Florida in just being able to really filter out what would be going on at the offensive tackle spot. I mean, you look at what Billy Napier has, what the offensive line staff has at that position now, and I kept saying it's probably a blessing in disguise that those transfers get a lot of reps in the spring. Barber and Waits know this offense. So now it's just going back and getting into the groove of things physically on the field. But at least I think now out of this battle, if Barber and Waits are starting, you know, they beat guys who got a lot of experience in the spring. If it ends up being Crenshaw Dixon and Devin Manuel starting or a combo of, you know, one of those guys starting, I think you know they've earned it because Barber and Waits know this offense. Now, that doesn't mean this offensive line is going to be this great offensive line or take some massive steps, but I do think the way this plays out is the staff would be playing the guys that actually they feel comfortable are better than, you know, the starters would be better than the guys that are, you know, having to sit behind them. Had to earn it. Those starters had to earn it. So that doesn't mean Florida's offensive line will be leaps and bounds better, but it certainly means that the staff feels that they're playing the better players. Now, that's the way I see that working out. Now, of course, we mentioned transfer portal and who they're bringing in or may not be bringing in, but it doesn't seem like any instant contributors along the offensive line. So mostly seems like, okay, we are where we are along the offensive line. Mostly what they have along the offensive line. The interior offensive line was brought up a little bit and maybe hit the transfer portal for an instant contributor. Doesn't look like that's going to be happening here. So, you know, whether that be Damian George or I think you feel pretty good about center and Jake Slaughter and left side Najee Harris. You know, Bryce Lovett supposedly pushing George there on the right guard spot, but didn't necessarily have the best spring game. But all throughout spring, we were hearing Lovett pushing. So, That was just one day. As I said, spring game can be taken too much of, but that's all we have. That's all we get to see it in an extended window. But offensive line certainly is the position where a lot of worry still resides till we see something different. Now, Grant Mertz can do a whole lot too there. Now, he's mentioned in many of the recent interviews that he's done here on Gators Breakdown a couple months ago, all throughout spring practice, the Q&A session with Florida Victorious there. Of course, new helmet communication this fall to go that. They've been practicing it all spring, but also Grant Mertz is saying, I can be a better communicator. I can help the offensive line. He was learning the offense this time a year ago, still playing in it for the first time last season. Needs to take all of that and, as he said, make the right checks, make the right calls, be able to help the offensive line a little bit. Now, granted, don't get me wrong. We know the offensive line last year was just physically beat. At the same time, Graham Mertz says, I can do better myself, and I can also help them better along the offensive line to help those guys play a little bit better. So Graham Mertz, of course, getting rid of the ball, making sure to escape pressure and get rid of the ball while he escapes pressure. So pocket maneuverability. I mean, of course, there's things where while he feels more comfortable in this offense, he should be able to do. That can help the offensive line as well. All right, let's keep it going. Peyton Mitchell says, we heard Napier say offense crushed one scrimmage and then the defense crushed the other. Curious what his opinion of the live game was, but still worried about offensive line and wide receiver. Defensive line is a new worry for me. That's interesting there. Of course, wide receiver, we've talked about that with the transfer portal there as well. Get Trey Wilson more help, make sure the explosive passing game. Now, Grant Mertz did say the other night in the Florida Victorious Q&A, well, you can check out there. If you're a member of Florida Victorious, you can check it out. It's on your member dashboard. If you didn't get to watch it live, the Q&A with Grant Mertz and DJ Lagway, really good stuff. Remember, you can get your discount from a code GatorsBD. Shameless plug. I think you look at it and Mertz did say the thing he wants to work on the most is the explosives, and that's going to be also dependent on the wide receiver, but did say don't take too much from the spring game. They have more in the chamber. Pretty much what Graham Mertz said there in the Q&A. So, of course, you expect to hear things like that, but we weren't going to get our answer for the explosion of the passing game in the spring game. We just weren't. That doesn't mean it's there. Doesn't mean it's not there. It's just, as all this is, it's talking season right now. It's wait and see mode. But we know wide receiver needs some more help. But Peyton saying defensive line's a new worry for him. I don't feel any different there. I will say for the spring game, if that's what we're going to go by, Slackman wasn't paired with Jackson. They weren't playing together. I expect those guys to play a whole lot together this coming up fall. Also, no Justice Boone up front. Now, while he's at edge spot, he'll be a part of that. I think hand in the dirt, the F spot along the defensive line, part of the edge defensive line group there. So, Justice Boone there either, of course, just very limited and not taking chances with him through spring. I think LJ McCray certainly flashed. Tyreek Sapp flashed in the spring game as well. Sapp was a name I did hear multiple times all throughout spring. So hopefully he takes that step that we just kind of been waiting on. But that's been an issue, right? Just kind of waiting on. There's a few players that fit in that. But maybe with more help there, toward the middle of the defensive line and him splitting reps with Justice Boone, Tyreek Sapp can also be that player. So I wouldn't say – I'm not worried. They will not be any – they won't be worse than what they were last year. Now, of course, this whole team needs to take a step, and that's not good enough. They do need to take a step. But I do think there's a baseline. You got most of the guys coming back with Caleb Banks and Cam Jackson, Dez Watson, and Jamari Lyons. You lose Chris McClellan. He was somebody I was hoping would develop into a big role. But still, with Slackman coming in, you kind of get that replaced, and hopefully Jamari Lyons takes that role as well. But Cam Jackson has certainly room to get better as well. But I think there's a good baseline there. They're not going to be any worse than what they were last year, but we need that group to be better for sure. I wouldn't say it's a worry for me, but they do need to be better. Michael Gator says, Napier put it best. This projected starter roster has more than 43,000 snaps. The last two starting rosters combined for about 40,000. So a lot of snaps coming in. You guys know ESPN and their analytics and how many snaps, and Florida's one of the more experienced teams in the SEC. I think 32nd overall. When you add in snaps taken for Florida and the transfers they're bringing in. So yeah, there's a lot more snaps for this Florida team at positions of need, and tackle along the offensive line, safety, of course. And then you add a player like Pup Howard at linebacker. Not a lot of snaps under his name, but where you see the transfers paying off. But also, you kind of go into that point, and we're kind of talking about talent here. Lord Heller 71 does bring up a good point on the other side of this. Tell me who scares you on offense or defense other than Trey. Therefore, until proven otherwise, we the same mediocre at best team. Hard to argue with that. Now, we saw a flash of Jaden Ball. Montrell Johnson, of course, is a really good running back to me. He could scare you in some ways, but yeah, you're right. I mean, he doesn't scare you like Trey. Certainly does not. But there's a lot of good in what Montrell Johnson and this run game, I think, can do as a whole. But yeah, you can't circle a lot of guys that are going to just, you know, defenses have to be scared of, have to game plan for, and really focus their defensive game plan on, besides Trey Wilson. That is right. Now, Graham Mertz fits in that category, I think, some as well, as the quarterback. How much does he scare other teams? I don't know, but he's a better than average quarterback there, and hopefully he does take another step. Hopefully that explosion we're talking about is something that will scare defenses down the road. But it's hard to disagree with what Lord Heller says right here. I mean, who other than on offense and defense scares you? Now, Shamar James some way, but I think, you know, we're waiting for a big step for him. Hopefully he comes back healthy. But up front along the defensive line, you can't circle anybody who says, yeah, that's going to be the guy just yet. Pup Howard comes in at linebacker. Hopefully he's that guy along with Shamar James. You circle both of those guys together. We still have to see it. On the back end, can Devin Moore be that guy? But he's got to stay healthy first. You know, Jason Marshall's hasn't put himself at that level yet. We've heard a lot about these safeties, but that's something we still have to wait and see if you can circle those guys as somebody that will scare an opposing offense. It's not there yet. You're right. Therefore, as Lord Heller said, therefore, until proven otherwise, we're the same team. And yeah, those guys have to prove it. We can project all we want. We really can. And guys we like and guys that can be a player that might scare somebody, but you're not circling anybody for sure. I can go ahead and tell you, other defenses out there right now aren't circling anybody else but Trey right now. That doesn't necessarily mean or have to mean he'll be the only option or the best option, or he'll be the best. But he doesn't have to be the only one. But who are you circling to be that guy that really scares defenses? Trey probably is the only one. Patrick Hopp, he said, I voted better, but it needs context. As in, overall talent has gotten better. Quarterback, running back, DB, LB, with a few other positions being upgraded. I wouldn't totally sleep on this team, for sure. But then again, I could see us having a rough year in the buddy system, letting go of Billy. Not sure what the last part totally was. I don't know if it means letting, like, just the buddy system failing Napier, or eventually means letting go as in not being the guy. I think it's going to take a whole lot for Billy Napier to get fired after this coming up season. He has a lot of support in the system, in the administration. It's going to take a lot for him, but kind of staying on point here about the team and coming out of spring. I mean, yeah, I think the overall talent is better. Schedule will come into play, of course, there. And what that absolutely means. They have upgraded some positions, sure, that we have just discussed all spring long. This team really is polarizing. You can see a path to where they're a lot better. You can see where it stays a lot of the same from what we've seen the last couple of years at the same time. And it's not just the players, but it's just coaching and situational football. And, you know, can you have special teams be better? I mean, a lot of that comes into play here. And that's going to be up to a next point. Let me get through these next points, and then I'll come back around on that. But Michael Ross says, same. He votes this team, he feels the same with. But with context, again, I think the team has more talent, more depth. The Mullen players purge complete, but it's a spring game. It means nothing. If we do the little things, we could be 7-5. If the same old mistakes, we're 5-7. And Napier's gone. That schedule is daunting. Lyle Saunders says, 2 years ago, I would have said our offense would be unstoppable. Last year, I would have said the defense will be much improved. Today, I don't know. I'm in wait-and-see mode. And Minimal Japandi on Twitter says, I feel no different, mostly because the person calling the plays on offense is the same. And, of course, that goes back to Billy Napier. Got that confirmed last week on his interview with Josh Pate that he was still going to be the play caller, the offensive coordinator for the Gators. And I know a lot of people don't have a lot of confidence in that. But I'm not telling you to have confidence in it. I will say, explain it like I have before, of the way he's bringing in Ron Roberts, special teams coordinator as well, taking some off of his plate as where he can focus more on the offense. That doesn't mean it will work. I'm just saying there are some changes being made to maybe help this offense. I think that's what, it's not just the same. Billy Napier still calling plays is not necessarily still sticking to the same guns. He's bringing in other aspects to hopefully help the load he has on game days, the load he has in game prep. I'm not saying it will work, but I'm also not going to say he's not doing anything different. He's bringing in Ron Roberts to help out on defense, be that head coach of the defense, maybe take some of those responsibilities off of his plate on game day. So he can, if he's going to call the plays, he needs to concentrate more on the offense. I know a lot of us want him to be that CEO role of a head coach. He's not going to be. So what changes can he make to be better in the way he wants to construct his program, his staff, his team? Well, it's bringing in guys like Ron Roberts on defense. It's bringing in a special teams coordinator to hopefully help on, now I know the spring game. We saw the 10 guys on an extra point, and that didn't inspire a lot of confidence in people. But there were moves to be made where Billy Napier can concentrate on the offensive side of the football a bit more. Hopefully those all, I'm not saying it will pay off, but changes were made. It needs to pay off. I think if you want to start inspiring some confidence, not just in the fan base, but also recruits too. I mean, Florida has brought in some good wide receivers. No elite wide receivers yet. Not the top of the top, the cream of the crop, top of the receivers yet. They've gotten some good receivers. Trey can end up being a really, really good wide receiver for Florida, but you're still missing I'm not even going by recruiting rankings. There's some receivers out there we just know are going to be great, dominant, from the state of Florida, very friendly area, and Florida's just not in the mix for those top wide receivers. Yeah, you're Jeremiah Smith of the world. You're just really not in the mix for him. So, Billy Napier, his play calling, that's going to go a long way into proving to recruits as well that this is an offense I want to go play in. But all that starts in showing something as an offensive coordinator this coming up season. It'll be 3 years of it. There'll be plenty of tape, plenty of examples of either what you can sell or what people can negative recruit against you when you want these quarterbacks, when you want these receivers. And the quarterback hasn't really been much of an issue now. And we'll get into it next week, probably on Gators Breakdown as we talk recruiting. Maybe taking a little bit of a hit this cycle, but some of that is due to because you got DJ Lagway last cycle. And guys not wanting to sit behind him. But still a big season for Billy Napier to prove a lot of doubters wrong and prove to recruits out there that this offense can be better, can be fun to play in, can be more explosive. He's made some changes. Hopefully that all pay off. But all right, there we go. Gator Nation, I'm glad many of you out there are feeling more optimistic, feeling better about where this team is, even feeling the same. Some of that can be good. If you already felt good, then that's good. If you're glass half empty and not really positive about this team, but you feel the same, then okay. You come out of the spring feeling worse, 10% of you did. So based off of what you see. So I didn't get much feedback as why people feel worse. Most of the feedback was why they feel better because that mostly dominated the poll here. But there we go. There we go. Thanks for all the feedback there on Twitter for responding to the poll there. But That'll do it for this episode of Gators Breakdown. I mean, a lot of, like I said, by the time you listen to this, who knows what the transfer portal will bring. Just know it's ever changing. Don't hold me to the fire here of, oh, you're wrong. Okay, this stuff just changes. That's what it is. I'm coming out and saying it right now. I'm not trying to be right. I'm just trying to bring you the latest of what's happening and knowing that it can change. All right, so that'll do it for this episode of Gators Breakdown. I'm your host, David Waters. You can find me on social media at GatorDave_SEC. Guys and girls out there, thank you for joining me on this episode of Gators Breakdown.